Well, good morning, and I also want to welcome you to Warden this morning. I have one other quick announcement that Pastor Carrie Ann didn't mention, and that's that Joy Unlimited is on Thursday, June the 27th. So you can register for that at our church website, wardenfullgospel.com. I hope you're all doing well this morning. It's nice to see you. I'd like to begin by telling you a story. A truck driver stopped at a truck stop and ordered a cheeseburger. He was ready to eat it when a motorcycle gang pulled up. One of the gang members insulted him, took his cheeseburger, and ate it in front of him. The truck driver, he just calmly got up and walked out of the truck stop. The gang member said to the waitress, "He's not much of a man, is he?" To which she said, "He's not much of a driver either. He just backed his 18-wheeler over six motorcycles." We laugh because we can relate, right? When someone does something to us, we want to get them back. We want them to know what it feels like. We want them to pay. The familiar saying, "Don't get mad, get even," sums up the world's philosophy of how to deal with someone who wrongs you. But in contrast to the world's way, God's perspective is totally different, and he prescribes a radical approach when we're wronged. We are to resist revenge. We are to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Today we're continuing in our series, Superpowers. And I think that forgiveness is the Christian's greatest superpower. If you think about it, from Genesis to Revelation, the entire biblical text showcases the importance of forgiveness. Jesus says from the cross, "Father, forgive them." And he teaches us to pray, "Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." You see, at the heart of the Christian faith is forgiveness. If forgiveness didn't exist, then what of the gospel? What of the faith that we claim? Forgiveness is God's all-encompassing strategy for saving the world. And I believe we're most like our Maker when we forgive. And real superheroes, they forgive. You know, I think it's easy to say to people you need to forgive, but it's much more difficult to actually do. It really does take superpower. Because forgiveness is a virtue we most enjoy and least employ in our Christian experience. We all love to be forgiven. We expect it, we want it, but we can find it a struggle to forgive. We can resist it, and sometimes we even refuse to do it. As I was preparing for today, I have to admit, I struggled, because I don't want to trivialize or take lightly the subject of forgiveness. I've heard people talk about forgiveness before, and they made it sound like as Christians we're supposed to be a doormat, or they minimalize the horrible things that have happened in people's lives, and they make forgiveness sound simple and easy. But it's not easy. That's why it requires superpower. I'm well aware that there are people in this room who have suffered in the most horrific ways at the hands of people they love, they once loved and trusted. I actually know of someone whose family member was murdered. I know women who have been assaulted and people that were abandoned or abused by their parents, whose homes have been broken because of unfaithfulness. See, each new day brings opportunity for offense, whether great or small. C.S. Lewis put it well when he said, "Forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive." There's something within us that just wants to hold on to the evidence of our wounding. And it's because this desire is so strong that Jesus dealt with the need to forgive on numerous occasions. I believe he considered it one of life's most crucial issues. His entire life was both a lesson in forgiveness and provision for it. One of the most important messages about the subject was given in the form of a parable. the story of the unforgiving servant, and it's found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it is on the screen for you to follow along. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to his torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Before we continue, let's just pause for a minute and pray. God, we thank you for the word, for your word. It's powerful and it's filled with truth and wisdom that can help us, Lord. So I pray you will just prepare us for what you want us to receive today from your word. And I pray for those who are here today who are maybe hurting or have been hurt, God. I pray that you would speak to us and just help me, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This simple yet powerful story reveals some deep truths about forgiveness. So this morning I'd like to answer three questions about forgiveness. The first question is, how often should I forgive? In this passage, we find Peter, good old Peter, in his impulsive ways, coming to Jesus with a question about forgiveness. And he asks, "Lord, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Have you ever asked that question yourself? Somebody does something to you again for the umpteenth time, and you're like, "Oh God, do I need to forgive that person again?" Now, I was actually wondering as I read the account if Peter was actually not talking about his literal brother, Andrew. See, Peter and Andrew, they were brothers and they had grown up together and they both had joined the band of Jesus' followers. And I was thinking perhaps Andrew was doing some things and annoying Peter like siblings sometimes do. But we're not told, but at any rate, Peter feels that he's being very generous here in suggesting that he forgive seven times. And there's good reason for him to think he was generous. The rabbis in those days taught that they only needed to forgive someone three times, and after that, they could do what they liked. So you can see from that Peter feels like he's gone the utmost limit when he's doubled that and added one for good measure. And he suggests that he might be willing to forgive his brother seven times. Now, I might be wrong, but I can picture that here there's a note of laughter in Jesus' reply to Peter. If you were to put it in modern day phrasing, I think he would say, "Peter, would you believe 70 times seven?" See, Jesus is not saying here, though, to get out your calculator and tick off 490 times before you explode. Even though I have used that one before on someone when they did it again. I've already forgave you 70 times 7. I know the difference. Jesus here is saying to Peter, there is no limit at all. That forgiveness is the kind of thing that you ought to go on without limits. Jesus has only chosen the figure of 490 times as a play on what Peter said to him. But it really suggests an unlimited forgiveness. In effect, Jesus is saying it's not the question of how often should I forgive my brother that's so important. That's not the real question. The real question is how come? How come I need to forgive my brother? Why should I even forgive at all? So the answer to that deeper question, how come I should forgive my brother, Jesus gives us the parable of the unforgiving servant. And in this story, Jesus reveals two great reasons why we must forgive those who offend us. The first reason is because the forgiven forgive. Would you say that with me out loud? The forgiven forgive. I recently read a story of a priest in the Philippines, a much-loved man of God, and he carried this burden of a secret sin he had committed many years before. He'd repented, but still had no peace and no sense of God's forgiveness. In his parish, there was a woman who deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ and he with her. So the priest was skeptical about this, so to test her, he said, the next time you speak with Christ, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed while he was in seminary. The woman agreed, and a few days later, the priest asked, well, did Christ visit you in your dreams? Yes, he did, she replied, and did you ask him what sin I committed in seminary? Yes, she said. Well, what did he say? Well, he said, I don't remember. See, what God forgives, he forgets. And Scripture affirms this in several places. For instance, in Hebrews 8:12, it says, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And similarly, in Hebrews 10:17, it reiterates, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. That means that God in his grace chooses to forgive our sins entirely, not holding them against us. And because of that great forgiveness that we received, we also need to forgive as well. The importance of this parable, it lies in seeing that it's actually a picture of us. Jesus is here holding up a mirror in order that we might see ourselves. We're the servant who's been forgiven an enormous and staggering amount, and God is the great king that's forgiven us. This 10,000 talents is an incredible amount of money. According to one source I read, someone who had 5 talents of gold or silver was like a multimillionaire by today's standards. This man owed 10,000 talents. It was an impossible amount to repay. When the settling of the accounts came, this man was confronted with this massive debt that he could never pay. The king ordered that justice be carried out and the man and his wife and their children and all that they had be sold. That was something that was possible in those days. Even then, it would have been far, far short of the amount of this debt. In desperation, the man makes an impossible promise. He falls on his knees and says to the king, have patience with me, sir, and I'll pay you everything. Now, he could never do that. Even if he worked all of his lifetime and his family also, he'd never be able to pay. But in desperation, he cries out, and the king's heart is moved by this man's impossible situation. And out of pity towards him, he forgives him. That meant, of course, that the king assumed that debt himself. And that was no small amount. It was a staggering cost to himself that the king forgave his debt. And then Jesus goes on in the story, as you know, and tells of another account. As the man went out from his experience of being unbelievably forgiven, he met a man who owed him 100 denarii, which is a very small amount. And he seized him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe." But when the second man says exactly the same words that the first said just a few minutes before, "Have patience with me and I'll pay you everything." Instead of forgiving him this very low amount, he throws him in prison till he should pay the full amount. That, Jesus says, is what we do when we refuse to forgive each other, even the most insulting and adverse offenses. See, no matter how bad it might appear to us, no matter how hurt we are by what somebody has done to us, it is like comparing $20 to $10 million of debt. There's no one of us here who's a Christian who doesn't realize that we didn't stand in desperate need of the forgiving word from the great King. And yet when somebody offends us, how quickly we are to revert to the basis of justice and start demanding, "Pay me what you owe." See, what Jesus is saying here in this simple story is that we need to forgive because we've been forgiven. As the king said to the servant, "You wicked servant, should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I've had mercy on you?" We must forgive one another because we've already been forgiven. Paul says it this way, and he says it so well in Ephesians 4:31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Now there's a passage in 2 Peter that describes the grace of God as well. It says that the graces of God are self-control, godliness, brotherly affection, and loving concern. And Peter adds this really revealing word in 2 Peter 1:9. He says, "Whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Now, Carl Menninger, the famed psychologist, once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. That's how powerful forgiveness is. We desperately need to remember that we're forgiven and how much we've been forgiven. We have to see ourselves in this if we're ever going to be helped by this simple story of Jesus. We must see that the sum of our offenses against God constitutes that kind of a debt, an absolute impossible amount. It's like that song we used to sing. "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." See, there was a day for many of us here when we accepted Jesus and we were forgiven. The debt was wiped away. In one moment, it was completely gone. I want you to think back to that moment when you stood before God and you realized that you were cleansed and blameless and free. The debt was paid and you were free. You need to remember that feeling. You need to know and remember that. The seriousness of our sin, because in order for us to understand how come we should forgive, we need to understand how much God has forgiven us. The forgiven forgive is the first reason we must forgive others. The second reason we must forgive is to avoid the torment that an unforgiving spirit inflicts upon us. There was a little boy sitting on a park bench in obvious pain. A man walked up to him and asked him, "What's wrong?" And the young boy said, "Well, I'm sitting on a bumblebee." And the man urgently asked, "Well, why don't you get up?" And the boy replied, "Because I figured I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." How many of us handle forgiveness like this? You know, we endure pain and the statistic satisfaction, believing that we're hurting our offender more than they're hurting us. But when we get off the bench of unforgiveness, both parties can realize the relief from their pain. Verse 43 says, "And in anger, his Lord delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all his debt." That's a remarkably meaningful phrase to describe what happens to us when we don't forgive another. It's actually an accurate description of the gnawing, resentment, and bitterness, the awful gall of hate. It's a terrible feeling, and we can't get away from it. We can't escape it. We find ourselves powerless to avoid it. And we feel strongly the separation from another every time we think about them. We feel inside this acid of resentment and hate eating away at our peace and calmness. You see, there's a torturing that'll take place if you don't forgive. In the book of Hebrews, we read, "Let no root of bitterness spring up and trouble you." Notice where the trouble occurs. It hits you, not the other person. Think of it this way. How heavy is this bottle of water? It depends on how long you have to carry it. To carry it for a minute is no problem at all. After an hour, your arm will probably ache. But after 24 hours, you'd probably be in fairly bad shape, or I know I would anyways. In each case, the bottle of water weighs exactly the same. But the longer that you carry it, the heavier it feels. And the same is true about carrying a grudge and unforgiveness. It's like this woman I heard about, and she was in her 80s, and she said that 50 years before, her aunt said something insulting to her, and this woman had never forgiven her. 50 years later, she could recount the event to the precise detail and felt the same bitterness and anger and resentment welling up within her as when it originally occurred. Now, it was no wonder that by this time she had become a bitter, crotchety, quarrelsome, unhappy woman who could find no happiness in life whatsoever. See, she was still in the hands of her tormentors 50 years later. Don't allow yourself to become like that. Forgive. Forgive people who have hurt you, so that you can get out of the hands of the torture and the torment that unforgiveness causes. Neil Anderson says, "To forgive someone is to set a captive free, only to discover that that captive was you." And that's so true. We must forgive because the forgiven forgive, and to escape the torture that unforgiveness brings into our lives. So far, in this simple story, we see how often and how come we need to forgive. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, "Well, Connie, that's great, but how can I forgive? How is it possible to have this superpower? How do I live a life of forgiveness?" Well, time and time again, the scriptures call us to do what seems impossible. Tells you to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. Jesus calls us to live with these impossibilities because what's impossible for humans is possible with God. And spoiler alert, if you haven't figured it out yet, all our superpower comes from God. He's our source. And we're not asked to create forgiveness. We're called to participate in forgiveness. We have been given the forgiveness that God has given us. And just as we've been forgiven, God will give it to us as well to forgive others, just like he does with his love and his nurture. Jesus is saying that forgiveness is possible because we've been forgiven, because this vast and staggering debt against us has been wiped out by the grace of God. We also have the capability of forgiving. So I want to give you a few biblical suggestions to help you find the strength that you need to forgive. First, recognize your new identity in Christ. So you are a new creation with a new spirit and a new heart that's capable of forgiveness. God has given you a heart that actually wants to forgive, just as he's forgiven you. And remember to depend on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within you, and he empowers you to forgive. So trust in his guidance and his strength to help you release any bitterness or resentment. Another thing you can do is pray for the person. Praying for the person who hurt you can soften your heart and help you see through God's eyes. Jesus taught us, pray for those who persecute you. Another thing we should do is renew our mind. Constantly renew your mind with the truth of God's word. Romans 12:2 encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So meditate on the scriptures to speak of God's forgiveness and his love. And that'll help you remember God's forgiveness. We need to constantly reflect on the immense forgiveness we've received through Christ. This perspective can help us extend that same grace to others. Now, there's a story about a traveler making his way with a guide through the jungles of Burma. They came to a shallow but wide river and waded through it to the other side. When the traveler came out of the river, numerous leeches had attached to his body. His first instinct was to grab them and pull them off. But the guide stopped them, warning him that pulling the leeches off would leave tiny pieces of them under his skin, and eventually infection would set in. He said the best way to rid the body of the leeches was to bathe in a warm balsam bath for several minutes. This would soak the leeches, and soon they would release their hold on the man's body. You know, when you have been injured by another person, you can't just simply yank the injury from yourself and expect all the bitterness to be gone. Resentment still hides underneath the surface. The only way to become truly free of the offenses and to forgive others is to bathe in the soothing bath of God's forgiveness for you. When you fully fathom the extent of God's love in Christ Jesus, forgiving others is going to be like a natural outflow. Forgiveness begins with God. The love, mercy, and grace you've received from God, we are to extend to others. It's God's grace in our lives that gives us that superpower to forgive. This parable, it's not about earning God's forgiveness through our actions, but about living out the reality of the forgiveness we already received in Christ. And finally, forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. You can choose to forgive as an act of your will, even if your emotions are not fully aligned yet. The decision to forgive is made every time you think about that offense or you see that person. We should develop a heart attitude that says, Lord, I forgive that person and I'm going to reject any bitter and hateful thoughts about him or her. I don't believe that's easy, but I do believe it's possible and it is necessary. Why? Because as I said over and over again, you got to get this, the forgiven forgive, and we need to avoid the torment that unforgiveness brings. I also believe that there are some misconceptions out there about forgiveness that I'd like to address before I conclude this morning that I hope will help you have a better understanding of forgiveness. The first is that forgiveness is not tolerating sin. Jesus forgives, but he doesn't tolerate sin, and neither should we. We shouldn't endure abuse from other people. If someone is hurting you, yes, you should forgive, but you shouldn't let that continue. We need to set up some physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries to stop any further abuse and hurt. That's the only way to stop that cycle. Another thing is when you forgive a person, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be buddy-buddy with everybody. The Bible says in Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes reconciliation is just not possible. Forgiveness is one-sided. Reconciliation takes both parties. Another thing is when we forgive a person, that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to trust them. Forgiveness is instant. Trust has to be built over time. When you forgive a person, you're not avoiding pain or denying that you've been hurt. What you're doing is opening the door to healing. The truth is, we don't heal in order to forgive. We forgive in order to heal. Another thing is when you forgive a person, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily immediately healed. Forgiveness begins with the action, and the feelings will eventually follow. Corrie Ten Boom told of not being able to forgive a wrong that that had been done to her. She had tried to forgive the person, but she kept rehashing the incident and couldn't sleep. Finally, Corrie cried out to God for help in putting this problem to rest. His help came in the form of a kindly pastor. Corrie wrote, "To whom I confess my failure after 2 sleepless weeks. Up in the church tower," he said, nodding out the window, "is a bell which is rung by pulling on a rope. But you know what? After the church caretaker lets go of the rope, the bell keeps swinging. First ding, then dong, slower until the final dong and it stops." He said, "I believe the same is true of forgiveness. When we forgive, we take our hand off the rope. But if we've been tugging at our grievances for a really long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming for a while. They're just the ding-dongs of an old bell slowing down." And so it proved to be. There were a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dongs when the subject came up in conversation, but the force which was the willingness in my matter had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and lastly, they stopped altogether. See, forgiveness begins with actions, and eventually the feelings will follow. Another thing is forgiveness is not about dismissing your case. It's about appealing your case to a higher court. When you forgive someone, it's letting God be the avenger. Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." I remember when I was a kid, I was playing with one of my friends one day, and as she was leaving, she took one of my toys. I saw her put it under her coat, and as she was leaving, and I was ready to run after her and stop her and get mad at her, but my grandfather was there at the time, and he saw what was happening, and he said, "Connie," he said, "no, you just go back in the house, and I'll handle it." So I listened to him and I went in the house and I don't know what he said or did, but he did get my toy back. When we forgive, it's like we're going back in the house and letting God, our Heavenly Father, handle it. He knows how to handle it way better than we do. When we take the first step to forgive like God forgives, we are opening the doors between ourself and God. We're demonstrating a family resemblance as a child of the King. We're demonstrating the power of God working in our lives, which frees us from a lifetime of suffering and torment and moves us more towards a life of freedom, joy, and peace. When you forgive, you're using your greatest superpower. I think perhaps the most important point we learn from this simple story that Jesus told is that the kingdom of heaven consists of people who are both forgiven and who are forgiving, who have both received mercy and are merciful. I want to end with this. an attorney, after meditating on several scriptures, decided to cancel the debts of all of his clients that owed him money for more than 6 months. He drafted a letter explaining his decisions and the biblical basis, and he sent 17 debt counseling letters by certified mail. One by one, the letters were returned by the postal service, unsigned and undelivered. Now, you might think perhaps a couple of people have moved away, but not likely all of them. And you know, 16 of the 17 letters came back to him because the clients refused to sign for and open the envelopes. They were afraid that the attorney was suing them for their debts. How profound a story, right? Think about it. We owe a debt for our sin, and God is willing to cancel it all. But too many people won't even open the letter that explains how. Could we all just maybe bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment? There are two types of people in this room. Those who need God's forgiveness and those who need to forgive. First, I'd like to ask, if you're here and you would like to make that decision to accept God's great gift of forgiveness, you realize I'm like the servant that has a debt he could never pay. I want you to know that God loves you with an unconditional love that is just so immense that he sent his son to die on the cross and rise again so that you and I could be forgiven, that our debt could be canceled. If that's you and you would like to accept Jesus' forgiveness today, would you just raise your hand and I'd love to pray for you. Is there anyone that would say, I need Jesus to forgive me? Thank you. Now maybe you're here and you need to forgive someone. Someone has hurt you. It could be deeply, or maybe you came in this morning and somebody said something that offended you and or looked at you the wrong way and you're like, oh, that just hurt. And you need to forgive somebody, whether it's from years ago or recent. You would say, God, I need your superpower. I need your help to forgive. Would you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. Thank you. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you. We thank you that we have been forgiven, that we have been cleansed of our sin, that we have been set free, that we are adopted into your family, and that we have that grace upon our lives, that you've made us new. God, for that person, Lord, that feels the need for forgiveness today, I pray that they would just understand and realize that when we call on your name, the name that is above every name, that they are forgiven, that their sins are remembered no more, God. I pray that you would just help them and thank you for their life and thank you that they want to be new. And for those of us who have been hurt that need to forgive someone today, I pray that your power by your Holy Spirit would just help them to forgive those people so that they cannot have to deal with the torture and the torment that comes from an unforgiving spirit. Help us to always remember how much you love us and that you forgave us so that we can live out of that power in our own lives and be gracious and merciful to those people around us. We love you and we thank you and we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and worship one more time. I feel like if there is anyone here that might need to be prayed for, you're going through something right now, I'll just be at the front, and if you'd like to come up, I'd be happy to pray with you. If there's any of the prayer team that would like to come, don't feel like you have to, because I didn't prepare anyone for this, but I'll definitely be here, and I'll be happy to pray with you. But let's just worship God and thank Him for the freedom and the joy and the peace we have because of what He's done for us. He's so good.